This morning, you'll notice that we are not doing a gospel lesson because on Pentecost, the primary text of the day is always the story of Acts. So, a reading from the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they all met in one room. Suddenly, they heard what sounded like a violent, rushing wind from heaven. The noise filled the entire house in which they were sitting. Something appeared to them that seemed like tongues of fire. These separated and came to rest on the head of each one. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as she had enabled them. Now, there were devout people living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, they all assembled, but they were bewildered to hear their native languages being spoken. They were amazed and astonished. Surely all of these people speaking are Galileans. How does it happen that each of us hears these words in our own native tongue? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, as well as visitors from Rome. All Jews are converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs too. We hear them preaching, each in our own language, about the marvels of God. All were amazed and disturbed. They asked each other, "What does this mean?" But others said mockingly, "They've drunk too much new wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd. "Women and men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, listen to what I have to say. These people are not drunk as you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, it's what Joel the prophet spoke of. In the days to come, it is our God who speaks. I will pour out my spirit on all humankind. Your daughters and sons will prophesy. Your young people will see visions, and your elders will dream dreams. Even on the most insignificant of my people, both women and men, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and billowing smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will become blood before the coming of the great and sublime day of our God. And all who call upon the name of our God will be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the beginning, after the flood, there was one people. They were a people of one lip, one language, one culture. And they were a people who were afraid. They were afraid of the vast variety of creation that surrounded them. They were afraid of what might happen to them if they were to scatter across this vast variety. Would they change? Would they become different from one another? Would they survive? In the beginning, there was one people, and they were afraid. So they took a new technology that they had just learned to make, bricks. And they said to one another, "Come, let us use these bricks to build a great city and a great tower." And so they did. They built the city of Babel. And there, they were isolated from the vast variety of creation. There, they could stay the same, cut off from the rest of the world. They could isolate and protect, conform, and remain. They built this great city, and they shut themselves off from creation. And they thought to themselves, what a name we have made for ourselves. God, Yahweh, heard about this great achievement of the humans. So God came down off God's heavenly throne. God sort of kneeled down on creation and squinted to see this great achievement that all the humans had been raving about. And God grew concerned. Now, God was not concerned that humankind might somehow overthrow God. I mean, what was this measly city of humans to God who had created the cosmos? No. God was not concerned about that. God was concerned because the people had chosen to isolate themselves from the vast variety of God's creation in direct contradiction to the very commandment God had given them to go out, be fruitful, multiply, and be caretakers of creation. God had asked the people to go out and explore and care for creation, not isolate themselves in fear. God was concerned because humankind's first instinct, motivated by fear, was to isolate and conform. And if that was their first instinct, then what might their second be? And what damage might that do to the rest of creation? Would they seek not just to isolate themselves from this vast variety, but to destroy the vast variety of creation? Would they then let fear rule them to such an extent that they would begin to destroy the very things within themselves that made them different, unique? If isolation was their first instinct, what might their second and third and fourth be? For nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. God was concerned because the people had chosen to make a name for themselves. Rather than trusting in the names God had given them, they had not trusted in God's covenant of love. So, in an act of great compassion for creation and great grace for humankind, God said, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language there." And so God did. God instilled within the people the vast variety that they were so afraid of. God made them diverse and unique from one another. God scattered them across the whole earth that they would explore and take care of the vast variety of creation. God reminded them that God had given them a name and a purpose. And soon they would take on a new name. God would give them God's very own name. The people, they did not need to be afraid of the vast variety of God's creation because they would be grounded in God's covenant of love. In the beginning of the early church, there was one people. The 12 apostles were a people of one language, one culture. And they were a people who were afraid. They were afraid because their friend, their teacher, their leader, Jesus, had just been executed. And while he had come back to see them, he had just left them forever, having ascended into heaven. And they were afraid of the vast variety around them, people of many nations and Romans and others who might try to persecute them just as they had persecuted Jesus. They were afraid that if they were scattered across creation, then this fledgling little movement would end. Their community would die, and no one would know the name Jesus. And out of fear, there was a very clear path before them. They could stay isolated in that room, in that house, isolate and protect, conform and remain. If they could just stay together, the same, then they would remain, and their community might just survive. Fear presented a very clear path of isolation. It was a path many had taken, and many would after. And it was the obvious choice. But God had never once given up on God's people. So in an act of great compassion for creation and great grace for the people, God intervened. God came to them as the Holy Spirit, descending upon them like flames, and the Spirit instilled within them the vast variety of languages. Suddenly, they could speak a diversity of languages and understand a diversity of people. The gift of the Spirit meant that they were no longer filled with fear, but filled with hope. And their first instinct, motivated by hope, was to leave that isolated room and go out among that vast variety of people and share the name of Jesus. And their second and third and fourth instincts would be to create a community that was all-embracing, expansive, and inclusive. They would grow, and they would change, and they would adapt. They would welcome in new people, and they would let those new people change them. They would learn even more languages and more cultures. They would scatter over the whole earth. And it would be cause not for fear, but for hope. God had replaced their fear with hope. And their first instinct was to go out, explore, and care for others just as Jesus had taught them to do. And from there, they would share the good news in both word and deed with the whole earth. That was the purpose God had given them. And God would give them God's name once again, Christian. For the covenant of God's love had not been abolished, but fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. And it was that covenant of love that has sustained the people from generation to generation to today. And it will be that covenant of love that will sustain the next generation and the next. Like the people in Genesis and the apostles in Acts, we do not need to be afraid of the vast variety of creation. For this diversity has been instilled within us by God. We must not isolate and conform, seeking to make a name for ourselves. For we have been given a purpose and a name by God. My siblings, we get to carry the very name of God. We are not people of fear, but people of hope, for we are forever grounded in God's covenant of love. Amen.